Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 344. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me, more or less.
Am I?
More or less. I see him making some funny little facial expressions over there. What's going on with your eye?
I've never noticed my eyebrow. Like, I can raise that eyebrow like a crazy psycho, but we never do video, so I'm like, I never really noticed it before.
Trying to look like The Rock over there or something? What do you got?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's ever a person that I get mistaken for on the street, it is most definitely The Rock. People are like, bruh, why don't you get out of the gym, Kenny? And I'm like, nah, man. Gains. It's all about personal gains, dog. Personal gains.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, you touched on it. We're doing video. We're not actually recording the video, but this is something we can do in the future. But this is a way for us to do things
I got to work on the eyebrow. If we're going to do it more video, I got to work on the, I got to get my eyebrow game.
Cold Coffee and the people's eyebrow. They definitely want to see it. No, listen, I just got off a plane, and I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania now, whereas you are still back home in beautiful Las Vegas. I will be calling Fury Professional Grappling 2 on UFC Fight Pass on Friday night, along with my man CM Punk. CFFC 102 is going to be on Saturday night here in Philadelphia. I will not be working that event, but I'll actually be attending as a fan, I guess. Maybe sit out in the crowd, have a little frosty beverage or two. But the man Chase Hooper is filling in for me there, so it'll be Chase Hooper and CM Punk on the mic for that one. And yeah, so we're apart today, but obviously we're not going to break the streak. We're not like Bruce Buffer. We're just going to give up on the streak and just let it be broken. You know what I'm saying?
That's cold. Well, at least when they're bringing in Chase, you guys got like very similar hair. I think. I mean, I know some people say you guys sound absolutely identical, and it is virtually identical, I would say. But the hair is nearly identical.
The hair,
for sure.
I will say, if I let my hair grow out, if I didn't trim it and I just let it go, yes, that is exactly what it would look like, is like Chase Hooper's hair. So, yeah, he'll fill in there. But yeah, listen, all right. Before we get too far into things, I understand why people tune in, and I can't help them at this point. But I need you, Cold Coffee, to give us the Las Vegas weather update, because that's really the only reason people tune in is they got to know how the weather's doing. Especially
somebody hit me up the other day and was like, "Dude, I longingly, I haven't been in Vegas for a minute. So one of the things I love is when you guys talk about the Vegas weather." And I was like, "You're shitting me, right?" I was like, "You're pulling my leg." And they're like, "No. It makes me, makes me nostalgic." So for that particular person, I won't name him right now. I don't want to make him feel awkward, but it is a lovely sunny and 80 degrees in Las Vegas right now. It is so wonderful. I got all the windows and the doors open, airing out, man. It's like we say every time, this is one of the best times of the year, and right now is probably one of the best days we've had in a while. And you know what's even better? I didn't have to drag my ass down to the UFC Apex to shoot anything today, so it's extra sunny outside right now. It's extra nice, and yeah, it's beautiful. Take that everywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is weird, right? It's fight week. Obviously, it's UFC 267 this week.
It threw me off.
It's bizarre.
Big time.
How long has it been since we didn't cover a fight week, man? And it's a big one. And, obviously,
I can't even remember.
I'll be tuned
in.
So many. Tuned in on Saturday and excited about it. But, yeah, it's been so long since we didn't do a fight week that, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of enjoying a little bit the fact that we're just, didn't have to do any research for media day, not worried about getting up and shooting photos tomorrow or, doing the weigh-ins. Yep. I mean, listen,
didn't I have to pack up gear, drive down to the Apex, set stuff up and do all that stuff. In fact, but what kind of messed me up today the most was, like, yesterday Bellator decides the Bellator and it's going to have its, or no, sorry, PFL midweek fights, and it completely threw me off because I was like, Who has fights on, Wednesday night or whatever? And it completely threw me off. So today when I woke up, I thought it was like even Friday or like Saturday. I was like, where am I at? What am I doing? I was joking on our Slack channel. I thought it was payday. So I woke up and I was like, hell yeah, it's payday. And I was like, oh, fuck no, it's Thursday. I'm still broke.
You're like, I'm going to the bar.
But I just didn't. I'm going to the bar. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll have a beer out of the fridge. But yeah, you said how long has it been? It's got to been at least like, well, the Contender Series has been 8 weeks straight, and I feel like we've been doing this straight Well before that.
Oh, yeah.
Well before that. And I can't even remember. I feel like we've been doing this every weekend since the beginning of the year. Like, I am so over it. So, like, as for, like, my timing and, like, what day it is and where I'm at or anything is completely thrown off. I mean, one, it's funny because people can't see us, but John's wearing his gray shirt. I got like a bluish gray shirt on. We look almost the same, except down below, I have no pants on.
Wow.
Because I'm at home. Wow. I don't have to put shorts on. I don't have to do a damn thing.
That is information you definitely know that. Did not have to share whatsoever, man. I'm just seeing
well,
you.
I mean, I got my drawers on. I just ain't got no pants on.
Oh, man. I mean,
if it's at home. It's like when I get home, it's like you take the keys out of your pocket and you set them on the little table or desk or whatever. And then I usually follow that up with taking my shorts off. It's just like it's like taking the shoes off.
I'm with you.
You just get comfy. You just get comfy. So there that it's beautiful outside and it's beautiful inside.
You know what's funny is I'm going to tell a little bit of myself. I currently do have pants on, but one of our old
You mean shorts.
Shorts. That's shorts. What, yeah,
you mean John Morgan pants.
Definitely don't have pants on. Yes, I have shorts on. But we used to have a dog named Vanderlei who whenever I would put my shorts on in the living room, he would run to his house to get inside because he knew the only time I put shorts on was as if we were leaving the house. Yeah, because I'm the same way. If I'm sitting around the house, I'm just rolling in boxers and a t-shirt.
That's
so the dog was so in tune that when I put my cargo shorts on, when I put my John Morgan pants on, as you just referred, he went straight to his little house. So it was
that's
kind of
funny.
It was kind of funny. Well, listen, man, you touched on – and you know, and first of all, let me just throw out there. There's way worse ways to make a living than what we do. So we're not trying to complain, but it's just nice to break up the monotony of it all. It's just the same
yes,
every single week, every
sure.
single week for a year. So it's nice. But
it's been mind-numbing. It's one thing to have an event every week, but the past 8 weeks having two events a week or 9 weeks, whatever
yeah.
we're at now, it's been just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's been above and beyond busy, but you're right. I mean, I'm grateful that we're able to do what we do, but enough's enough of this 2 week shit.
Well, and again, I'll say the caveat, you know, when we talked about it before, you're the one that has to drag like 70 pounds worth of gear everywhere too. You know what I mean? Me, I just have mm-hmm. to roll in there and set my computer up and grab a cup of coffee and I'm good to go. So,
and at the end of the night, it's always funny. The PR staff will be like, "Hey guys, you got the room for like another hour. Is that okay?" And Morgan's always first to be like, "Yeah, oh no, that's good. That's good. Thanks." And then he's like, "Hey guys, I'll see you later." As he walks out the door, I was like, "Why are you even acknowledging how long?" I was like, "You're gonna fucking leave here in like 10 minutes."
You're like, I don't need an
as
hour.
My
I'm good.
Ass is still sitting here editing, and I'm just like, "Well, I'm glad if somebody said thank you." Where I'm like, "Can I have more time? Can I have more time?" But no, everybody leaving says that hour's good, so I guess that's fine.
The guy that's walking out of here in 30 seconds says that hour will be fine, so I guess we're good. Oh man. Hilarious. Hey, listen, you touched on PFL. I know we don't honestly spend a lot of time talking about PFL because obviously the viewership's a little bit smaller and just the way the schedule falls and that sort of thing. But
yeah.
I gotta say, that show was good. Oh, let me phrase it properly.
It was cool.
The action was good.
Yeah,
the fights
championship
were good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The pacing of that show was just brutal.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go too hard on them. I mean,
it's a huge block. It was a huge time block
yeah.
that they had to fill. So they were spread it out. I mean, what was their total? 7 fights? Maybe a little bit more than that, something like that. But they had like a huge block of time, and they just spread it so long. It was – but, I mean, you're right. I mean, that. So it's a tough ask on them. They kept going back to the same guys, and they found themselves sort of saying the same stuff over and over and over. You know, they were talking preview some of the upcoming fights. But, I mean, that's a tough gig. That's a tough ask on anybody when you have a huge amount of time to fill – especially if it's a bunch of dudes. It's one thing if it's a bunch of attractive young ladies up there talking, whatever. Then you're like, hell, they could talk about the floor. And I'm like, I'm all in. But, you know, it's tough when you have just a few guys up there talking about fights over and over, the same fights over and over and over for hours and
yeah.
hours. It gets long. But as for the action, it was fantastic. I thought it was – I had a lot of fun. Normally, a lot of times when I watch other – promotions, I don't know, maybe I'm just biased because I'm so around the UFC that I find that the characters that are involved kind of have triggered me a little bit more, where I'm like, oh, I want to watch this guy's fight, or I want to watch this fight. So when I don't know a lot of the other characters in the other one, I need action to keep me involved, or I'm ready to tune out and put something else on the TV. But I was completely I was all in yesterday. I thought they were great fights that they put on. The ones that we knew that were going to be good fights, lived up to the good fights, and the ones that we knew were possibly questionable were questionable, you know. But there were some fights that stood out that I thought were a lot better than most people give them credit. And I mean, I won't go too far because I'll let you set up whichever. But I mean, even like the Harrison fight was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, listen, the one I'd have to say was my favorite. And I was going to ask you which one stood out to you the most, but dude, that Capoloza D'Elia fight was just insane.
That was awesome.
That was one of the. That was honestly. You know, I'd say, I mean, yeah, you know what? I want to say one of the best heavyweight fights I've ever seen. I know that may be a little too far, and I know they slowed down at the end, but I would say at least that first 10 minutes is some of the craziest 10 minutes of a heavyweight fight I've ever seen. Now, you know, you start talking about like a Bigfoot Mark Hunt type fight. It didn't end with as much of a salvo as that had. It kind of slowed at the end, and you know, I don't think there was drama in the result. We knew what it was, but just the back and forth of that first 10 minutes was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And then I got to imagine probably the other one that you would shout out would be Ray Cooper, man, with that just
that's
oh
it.
My god.
That's the one. That was fantastic. That was the one fight where I was like, man, in terms of just going back to staff picks, I think just a couple of us thought that Ray Cooper had the capability of doing it. You know, everybody knows his strength. Everybody knows whatever. But when you look at the weigh-ins, oh, my Lord, they look like they're in two different weight classes. And the heart that he showed out there and the power. And you never knew what was going to happen. The fight could have went either way. And so I was completely all in on that one. And you're right, when it comes to that heavyweight fight, the first 10 minutes, so much heart was shown in that. That as we were, like, even the Slack channel, just like, these guys are scary. Like, what they were putting each other through, and then how they were able to come back from that and then still have a nice, decent outpouring of activity. Sure, it wasn't like the first 10 minutes, but nothing could be like that.
No.
You know, and I thought the commentary did a good job where they said the right thing, where they were even like, it feels like they were watching a couple lightweights going around out there, because it didn't look like the typical heavyweights that were doing. And when you look at those two guys, those are not typical heavyweights that we've seen in the past. They're built differently. They come from incredible camps, and they're just fantastic. I mean, I love the story. Like, I couldn't help but get all choked up watching Capoloza talk. Seeing his family and stuff, and then we end up hearing the news afterwards that his family kept from him that his father had passed while he was away and while he was training and while he was prepped for it. He passed away, I think, that week.
Yeah, Sunday, they said.
And they didn't want to affect him. And then I was like, now I'm really emotional thinking about the fight. You know, it was just hats off to those guys, and I'm so happy. I would have been happy if either guy won, but after hearing that story and then watching – the reaction of his family. I mean, granted, the Contender Series has been doing it lately too, with like the little watch parties. I love that glimpse into the families and the teams that are watching it.
I do too.
So seeing the family get into it and every time they'd get on the screen or he'd get on the screen, you'd see that pop of emotion. And then the emotion on his face afterwards when he was talking to his family, I was just like, oh. And then we heard the bit about the dad. I was like, oh, God, please don't show the family again. Right now. Please don't. Because then they would know that I was just like, I can't take it. I can't take
it. No, man.
But it was great.
It was emotional. It was just a great show, man. I mean, even the prelims, you know, Roush Mafio, the story that he had,
that
you know,
was awesome.
Amazing.
That was a good
story.
Fight.
You know, that was a great fight. Antonio Carlos Jr., I mean, seeing Shoeface do that. Just top to bottom, man, this felt like a good show. I don't want to harp on it. I mean, I know a lot of people do. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know. They got to figure that pacing out, man. And I know it's probably tough when you got so many potential five-round fights to figure out, you know, where to slot it and what to do. But that pacing was brutal. I think that's the only thing that held him back. But as far as the fights themselves, I don't know, man. I just thought it was an amazing finish for PFL. I feel like this season they did gain a little bit of momentum. Now, I don't know how that's going to turn into viewership
next
numbers
year.
And that sort of thing, because it's tough. And you know what? I mean, Cole Coffey, you hit it right on the head. Now, for us, like you said, you and I, especially during COVID, I mean, we're covering the UFC every damn week. You know what I mean? So we just get to know those fighters really well because we're talking to them week in, week out. We see them week in and week out. But that your explanation is the exact same explanation that I think almost every fan out there has. I think there's very few people that watch MMA simply because they're looking at the technique. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that guy's my favorite fighter because he has an amazing sidekick or whatever. No, it's you know the stories and you know this guy's from where you are, or this girl went to school where you went to school, or you know this person talks like you or whatever. You know, and you get to know them, or you just like their story. You know, it's a character like cowboy or whatever. You know, you get to know, like you said. It's funny because you even use the word characters instead of athletes, but it's true.
Yeah,
and I think
it's true.
I think that's the hard part for all these secondary organizations, whether it be Bellator, yeah. whether it be PFL, whether it be ONE Championship, is just getting the audience familiar. So we'll see how the traction was, but I just thought they deserve praise because I thought there were some phenomenal fights. And now we've got some interesting things, right, to see where we go from here, right? Kayla Harrison, does she stay? Does she go? You know, does she stick around and keep racking up the big money? You know, it was Sean O'Connor.
What was the deal with the Ray Cooper thing? It was like, is he a free agent or not
That's
a free agent?
Bizarre.
I don't know what was going on right there. I was so confused. I'm like, I'm hearing one thing. And then Ray's like, I don't know where you're getting your source information, you know, blah, blah. And then Ray's like, I guess I'm not a free agent. I mean, like, but that's another one. I mean, he'd be a great pickup wherever. And I guess maybe even to the factor of like the pacing. When you think about if they said, hey guys, we gotta spread some time. We need some advertising dollars. We're giving away $6 million of purse.
Fair.
What are you doing, Fair. Organization? What are you guys doing over there? You guys might want to get a little quicker, whatever, but hey, we got to pay for this $6 million that we're about to give out.
That's
you know,
fair. That's actually fair.
You know,
like, man. We got if Wiz Khalifa is going to give us some money, we got to give him some airtime.
We got to give him airtime. I only caught like I don't know if what I caught was like him coming back a second time and singing, or maybe if it was like a replay, because I was out of the room when he sang the first time, and then I remember later on in the broadcast he was on the screen again, and I was like, oh, is he doing it again? But I wasn't quite sure if that was maybe just a repeat, them playing back what he did.
That's so
the first
crazy
time or whatever.
I wonder if like that's like how it was actually presented to him. Like, hey, listen, we'd like for you to invest in this thing. Like, why do I want to invest in that? Well, it's kind of a time buy on ESPN, and we'll put a single in there. Are you cool with that? Like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Good stuff. It was a great show. Like I said, I don't want to rag on
it. It was a good show.
I think it's their best season.
Really
great show. I did want to ask you what your thoughts are on Clarissa Shields, right? Because I'm torn a little bit, right? Because I'll be honest with you. As far as her doing what she's doing, getting into MMA, I respect the hell out of her, man. I really do. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that she's willing – I mean, to be as great as she is in her sport and to be willing to kind of be the rookie in another sport, man, I think that deserves all the praise in the world. And I do. I do praise her. But, I mean, the skills, obviously you can see the skills aren't quite there yet. But how could they be this early in her career?
Yep.
And I saw a lot of people point it out, and I think I have to agree, and I'll see where you stand too. Again, I'm not trying to be critical of PFL because I want to praise them for this great show they put on. But I think they deserve to shoulder a little bit of the blame here for the matchmaking, right? I mean, you're telling me they couldn't find somebody that would just stand and bang with her? Because that's all we really want to see anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean it is, but honestly, if they were to give somebody that was more one dimensional than some of the ones we've seen in the past, like even the last one, I thought she was going to lose, but then the girl tired out, and then I was joking that it was a fix because it seemed so bad that all of a sudden she was like just whooping on Clarissa while she was on top position, and then all of a sudden she just died out,
yeah.
and then Clarissa was able to finish her. This one, Clarissa, you could definitely tell that she had huge amount of gains. From the last time we saw her, she's at a wonderful camp.
Agree.
I mean, and with having the physicality and the skill set that she already had, and the discipline and the determination to get to where she was in the boxing field, and then put that with some of the world's best coaches, she's going to pick up on it. And she really did. I thought she was super, super impressive in terms of what she's gained.
Right.
But I also feel like the opponents that they've given her have been complete gimmies in the sense that they wanted her to have the best possible chance to win. Like I know you have to put her up with a like-minded, especially when it comes to wins. You're not going to throw up against a 14 and five or six opponent,
yeah.
you know, because she just doesn't have the MMA fights. But you can't take away that the fact that she is a world champion boxer, that power, you know, things like that, you got to give the opponent a little bit of some chance to have, you know, some sort of something to balance that out.
Not at 2-0. No. I just put her in with I find some woman that's been training like Tybo and wants to give a shot at MMA.
She's like, Billy Blanks is my instructor.
Yes,
you know,
I'm calling,
Billy Banks or Billy
I'm
Blanks.
I'm calling Billy
like
Blanks, and I'm like, Billy, who is your top boxer size instructor right now?
Not even the top. Somebody that tried it for like a month and then got Tired of it.
Somebody,
that person.
Somebody
that's
whose name is still on your mailing list 10 years later.
Just randomly pick one. But see, that's the thing. I'm not in for it to just see Clarissa look great. I want to see a good fight, and I want to see her get tested. And so that's why on my end, I want the PFL to stop trying to push her forward. I get it. I mean, everybody gets it. It's a no-brainer that she's better to them and more valuable to them as a winner and not somebody that comes in with a mediocre record, you know, that maintains a mediocre record, even if it's, you know, 3-3 or 3-4, and heaven forbids if she actually gets a losing record, you know, to pay whatever sort of money I'm sure that they're paying for the name value. They're paying for, she's a great personality. I like her. I mean, I know some people for some reason seem to be triggered by things she said in boxing and other stuff, but every time I've interacted with her when she came to some of the UFC events, I thought she was really nice. Yeah. She was personable, and I think she's an absolute stud when it comes to boxing. But I want to see her get challenged, and I felt like we got more of that. And but I thought that the judges made the right decision. When I heard the first judge was scored in Clarissa's favor, I was like, oh man, please don't
see the look on Abigail Montes's face as they read that decision. She was like,
they should have.
She was so she was like, are they really going to take
they're
this
gonna give
away
it to
from
it.
Me
she was in her mind, she was like, they're gonna give this to her.
It was
and I thought the exact same thing. I was like, you gotta be shitting me. Why is this not, I mean, I just don't understand why it wasn't unanimous. I thought she did clearly enough in just the second and the third round with her being on top and controlling, like that should have been enough right there. Even if it looked like Clarissa got some good shots off, to me, I was just like, I don't understand how one judge gave it to her.
I don't either. All right, so here's two things. First, I want to make a statement, and then second, I want to ask you a question. Hopefully now, after that matchup, I hope, and maybe everybody did already, but you know, I mean, you know me, I have stood in firm opposition anytime somebody goes, oh, we got to put Kayla up against Clarissa, that's the two-time gold medalist against the two-time
ridiculous.
Gold. Yeah, from day one, I kept trying to explain to people that is a ridiculous notion. I don't think they'll ever compete because just their timelines aren't going to match up. Hopefully everybody sees now why I was so against that. And you know what? I would assume most people that listen to this podcast are pretty educated in the game enough anyway that they probably already agreed with me anyway. But if you didn't, hopefully you do see now. But here's my question to you, Cold Coffee. Is this Clarissa Shields experiment done? Like, is it ruined now? Does this loss ruin everything? Is it over?
I don't think so. And it really shouldn't. If it is, then shame on them. Then it was just a big gimmick, a big ploy. After listening to the way that she talks and just taking what she says on face value, I believe that she's going to get better from this. And I think it's just a matter of she's just been rushed to fight at, you know, even the people that she's fighting people that aren't just bums off the street. I mean, she's fighting people with legit training on one of the biggest platforms possible. So I don't think it's dumb because I believe that she is a champion as a champion in another sport and working with the right people that she has with her. They're just going to take it back and learn. Some of the things I thought was really, really great, there were moments where it looked like she was caught up too much in her opponent to really hear what her coaches were saying to get out of those positions. And I thought that's what got her her previous fight. I thought, okay, she's not responding. She's just turtling up. She's having a hard time.
Right.
This time there were moments where I saw a little bit of that, but for the most part, she was spot on when they told her to do stuff. When they would tell her to, when she tried, the clinch would be engaged. You know, they tell her to back up, you separate, and she would separate. And it would work, you know? And I was like, okay, she's obviously can hear what's going on. She's aware. So she's not getting too intimidated in these fights to lose track and then just go back to, you know, whatever she's, you know, her boxing and stuff. So like she could be trained. So she's got the mindset. I think she's got everything to keep moving forward. It's just so early. I mean, it's just so early. I never expected her to be a champ in her first three fights or anything like that. But I mean, in the terms of Kayla Harrison and her is just absolutely ridiculous. It was ridiculous when it first started. And even to think that it would be anytime soon is ridiculous. Cause now it's getting to the point where I'm not shying away from the fact when people say, you know, when's Kayla and Amanda going to start getting together? Because now when I look at what Kayla's able to do, I'm not worried about her striking.
Yep.
I'm not worried about her chin. In not that she's taken the most, but she took a good shot on her nose in this fight, bust her up a little bit, kind of woke her up.
Yep.
That's going to be a big difference than Amanda Nunes, but also they've been working together. She's not going to be intimidated by Amanda. I don't think anybody would intimidate her, honestly. Even if she never worked with her, I don't think she would be intimidated by her. But now when people talk about, oh man, if Kayla comes over and gets and meets up with Amanda, I know even Dana's like, oh, she's not ready for that yet. I wouldn't be so sure. But Clarissa and Kayla is ridiculous. I mean, they should never even, as you said it, they're in two different time frames.
Yeah.
One is what looks like an absolute rookie in the sport. And Kayla, even though she hasn't been in this sport for that long, does not look like a rookie
right.
anymore. The gains that she has made, and maybe that's the difference when it comes from coming from a striking base and coming from a wrestling base or a judo base.
That's a huge part of
it. She was able to build quicker on the striking skills that she needed with such an impressive, dominating ground game that she has. I mean, it's scary. So, I mean, people want to say, oh, Amanda would smash her. I'm not so sure.
I agree.
I'm ready to say that at this point after seeing Kayla.
I agree. I've said all along, I hope they do fight at some time. And again, as Kayla said all along, you know, she's not going to push for it, but she does want to be yep. where Amanda is. And if they do it, you know, it's going to be a respectful situation.
Amanda don't want that heat.
Amanda just gets
people fired up. I'm just going to get people fired up. Amanda don't want that heat.
Yeah,
she don't want that heat.
But I love it. She said, look, if we do it, man, it'll just be an amazing athletic contest. You know, this is not going to be a Masvidal-Covington yep. situation, nothing like that. You know, we'll just do it. So
I think that would be incredible.
I think it'd be amazing.
I think it would be incredible.
I do too.
It needs to happen sooner rather than later, though.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
Amanda's got a foot out the door.
I agree. I don't think she's going to be doing much longer. All right, listen, before PFL, it was a contender series. I did want to ask you if you had any final thoughts on Javed Basharat and his
I was really surprised that he came in sounding like, where's he from, London or whatever? His accent. I was like, what? I was like, is this a joke?
It was funny. Yeah,
I thought we were gonna have to have a translator, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh, bro,
it's pretty funny. I just, you know, it's funny, and I have gotten a ton of backlash over this, and it's crazy, man. And it's, I don't listen to it, but it's just frustrating to see like people sending you DMs and stuff about like, stop it with your soy boy soft rhetoric. Oh, they wouldn't use a word like rhetoric, but you know, it's just they're like, I can't believe you're telling Dana that he has to punish these people. People for saying things. I'm like, when did I say he has to punish him for stuff, dude? It's so weird how people see what my job is as a reporter, and
yeah.
they think I'm trying to push some agenda or whatever. But it has made me think a little bit, because I'll be honest with you, at the weigh-ins, I didn't catch him saying the word terrorist, and obviously it wasn't Basharat that said terrorist; it was Oren Kalon. I didn't hear it, and it wasn't until
I didn't catch it.
None of us did.
And I guarantee his team didn't get it. I think they were recording it for their own sake, but I think that they probably heard him say it after the fact.
And then went back and
granted, I didn't have my ears in at the time, my headphones, but just listening in the room when I was standing right there behind my camera, I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it
at all. And even when I had to go, when we saw that somebody mentioned it, I went back to the footage and boosted the audio. And then I read his lips and I was like, oh, yeah, sure, clear as day. He said it, you know. But I guarantee he probably went back in the back and said, this motherfucker called me this,
yeah.
you know. And then they happen to have the footage because every team tapes, you know, their fighter
course,
up there. And then
moment.
They just took it
moment,
and they
right?
posted it,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah, I mean, but I mean, to not ask about it would just be ridiculous, because then you're going to get people on the other side. They're like, dude, you're not being a journalist if you don't ask what he thought about this, you know. I mean, like. We can't brush everything under the you know, just brush everything under the rug just because, yes, these people get half naked and beat the shit out of each other and it's a fighting sport. It's still a sport that's being watched by people. I mean, this is not a fight that happens in the backyard and nobody else is around. Nobody's seen it, so nobody has to know. Nobody has to say anything about it. And, you know, what happens, bros on her, man. I beat your ass and nobody has to know. But if I'm standing there and it's being streamed and it can be watched by thousands and then later by millions and somebody calls me out and acts like a dumbass, how do you not talk about
yeah.
it? How do you not talk about it? That's not being politically correct. That's not being whatever. That's just being thorough. You know, that's just doing, you know, what it is. I mean, it'd be one thing if I, as a videographer, was like, I don't feel it would be on me to say, I really need to get involved myself. My job is to take pictures
you document.
And edit the thing and then put
document.
It out. I document it. There it is. I document it and it's good. A reporter's job is to find out the story that's within those images, within that story. So part of the story is an Israeli guy calling the Afghanistan guy a terrorist, and there's deep-seated, you know, feelings between those peoples that I wasn't even fully aware of what the full breadth of the stuff is.
I wasn't
that's a
either.
Speaking that's a speaking moment. That's a learning moment for those of us that don't. And if we don't learn something, we don't ask the questions about what's happening, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We just skating through life and we're just I don't want to pay attention to that because, you know, it doesn't involve me in my little whatever, so I'm just not going to whatever, you know. That stuff means something to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you being present, that's on you to get that sound for those people. It might not mean anything for these people that are like, why, how dare you ask this? But the person, the other person that's paying attention, that's like, this does mean something to me. I want you to ask
Absolutely.
This question.
Well, you're spot on there, and I appreciate your explanation. And I didn't really intend to go down that route, but I thank you for doing it because you're explaining it and not making me explain it. And it's so true. I mean, you get it. It's just my job, and I'm just doing my job. And it's annoying to have people reach out to you, you know, via direct messages. Yeah. And I don't want to be one of those guys that closes my direct messages and stuff. I like talking with fans, but to harass me and tell me, you know, how shitty I am at my job and, what a weak person I am because this is my agenda and stuff. It's frustrating if I'm being honest with you, but I just delete it and move on. I'll be honest with you. I used to feel like I could try to talk to people and explain to them why I did what I did, and now I realize that's pointless. Like, you're never going to get somebody to be like, oh, you
Do you
know
speak
what?
Troll?
Yeah.
You speak troll?
Exactly. So, no, I just move on, you know, and move on. But here is my question, right? And obviously, I asked the question for Dana because, I do find the terrorist remark inappropriate, especially given what we know yep. about the relationship now that, again, as you said, I wasn't aware of the issues between Afghanistan and Israel and that sort of thing, but I am now. But so I found it a little I found the content a little bit offensive or whatever, and I don't consider myself a PC person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was like,
it was offensive.
It's probably inappropriate, you know what I mean? So but,
it was.
But I do wonder like where the line is, and you know, Dana keeps saying like, look man, we can't do anything or we're not going to do anything, and I mean, there is something to be said. I mean, what he says is true. Like, hey, man, if they don't like each other, they get to go punch each other in the face the next night. And there's something to be said for that. But I do feel like there is a line that they got to talk about. I mean, you know what's funny is I heard a lot of people say, what if the Afghanistan had made some, like, Jewish remark? Like, wouldn't people have been more up in arms? And I was like,
right.
You know, they probably would have been, you know, and if you start talking about, you know, then you start getting into like white and black and all these things. And again,
at some point, there's got to be a line.
I think
so, right? At some point,
there's
got to be something. Because it's still, these guys are still representing your brand. You know, the guy that goes out there and says, you know, fuck you, I hate you, I'm going to rape your wife after I beat your ass.
Don't want to hear that.
Is that
Definitely
okay?
No, that shouldn't be okay.
Is that okay, Dana? You know, it's like, it's not okay. At some point, you got to. Yes, it is guys fighting, but it doesn't mean you can't still have limits on what they can do. I mean, you're telling them to not take performance-enhancing drugs. You're telling them to, you know, make a certain weight. Can you also just tell them, hey, be, like, not a dick and say, like, super, super, like, crazy shit, you know?
Well,
I get it. Like, it's him calling – it'd be like calling him a fat ass, you know? In some areas, some people, that's the same thing. Like, oh, you want to call me a name? Ugh. You know, I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off me sticks to you. It's not a big deal. But at some point, when you talk about certain things, some things just should seem or feel taboo. And I mean, if you have two people where the whole thing where he's just trying to talk track, but trash is just literally about a person's ethnicity and where he's from, and knowing that there's actual like real issues going on, at some point, just as a person, you got to be like, dude, that was lame. And as an organization and as a president, if you say it's fine and okay, they're going to keep thinking it's fine and okay. But if you say, man, that's kind of a dick move, kid, don't say that sort of stuff, others are going to listen
right?
to that. And that's all you have to do.
I'm not saying you got
to
fine the guy. I'm not saying you got
to
cancel
the
guy's
him.
Fight.
Don't have to schedule. Yeah, you don't have to cancel
but
the fight.
Can't you just say, listen, we want to make it clear that we don't stand for that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, dude, like racism is still like really a problem in this world. You know what I mean? I know that's not racism, but it's a bigotry that's kind of like that. Because as you said, it's saying because you're from Afghanistan, you're automatically a terrorist. I mean, that's come
right.
on, man. That you're talking about somebody's ethnicity at that point. You know, if you're talking about the color of their skin, where they come from, what it's to me, that's the line, man. And it's like, again, are we going to be able to stop racism in our generation? Like, no, probably not. You know what I mean? It's been here for as long, but can we make a positive impact? Like I was saying, you know, even in stuff like, you know, you watch like a soccer game, and like an international soccer game, and there's a big thing that says stop racism on the field. Like, now, is that actually stopping racism? No, but at least it's speaking out. It's something. It's just something to say, like,
it's
hey,
it's taking
man,
a stand.
This isn't
it's
okay.
It's taking a stand. Yep. You're putting a flag in the ground. You're saying, this is what I think, whether or not it's going to change somebody's mind. But you're at least taking a stand. You're not sitting on the fence saying, there's nothing I can do or say,
like,
about it.
Hey, bro.
There actually is something you can say or do about it. You can tell us what you actually think.
Well, you think about it. I mean, really. And again, obviously, you know, Dana, the influence that he has in the sport, wouldn't it mean something if he just said, look, we're not going to impose any sanctions or anything like that, but I would like to say that, look, that's not cool, man. Let's leave that. Just that would be a step. You know what I mean? Like,
people
I think
would
that,
be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it would probably have some influence because these fighters don't want to piss off Dana White. You know what I mean? Yeah. They understand that he's a very powerful figure in the sport. I think even that would be beneficial. Just say, hey, it's not cool, guys. Yeah. Let's knock that shit off, you know? So – I don't know.
Same thing we see in everything. Same thing when we've seen like domestic violence, when we've seen other stuff. You know, you would like to hear a message that just comes out on one side of the fence, you know, and just say something. Not that you need to, you know, go too deep into it, but just, you know, if it's making the rounds and it's making social media. I mean, they're so in tune to the stuff that people are talking about. It's just surprising that they don't get out ahead of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And just say something. Even that one thing. Do they think it's going to change anything? No. It is. It boils down. It's still a violent, brutal sport, but that doesn't mean you can't, you know, have some sort of, you know, just, I don't know what the word is, just being like compassion, not compassion, but just, you know, I don't know. It's just crazy. Because, yeah, you wish that they would at least just say something, because then you could be like, okay, I can't hold that against them because they've actually said that, hey, that's not cool.
Yep.
I mean, they're still letting the fighter fight, and people are going to hate and say, oh, I can't believe you're letting this guy fight, whatever. But at least you're coming down the side that you made a decision to say something about it, that you said, hey, by the way, there's nothing we can do to change that. This guy thinks this guy is this, but I will at least tell everybody else watching this that this is not cool. I'm not really into it. They're going to settle it in the cage.
Even that, man, I would love to see that. You know, this is such a global sport. Yeah. And I love the fact that, like, on any given night, you see so many different flags brought into the octagon of people. You know, I mean, this really is a global sport. So let's preach that global message, too. You know what I mean? At least have one little bit of it that, hey, look, man, we're all in this thing together. At the end of the day, man, it doesn't matter where you're from. You know what I mean? We get in there and we prove who the best of the best is. And I don't know, man. I just, like you said, I'm not saying you got to fire the guy. I'm not saying just address it. And say it's wrong. Hey, one other thing from Contender Series.
Listen to us. We like, sound like a bunch of soy boys. Just a couple soy boys.
Everybody,
I'm going back and hug my palm tree.
Everybody in my DMs was right. I'm just a soy boy pushing my agenda or whatever, man. Jackasses. I did want to say one thing about the last thing about Contender Series. Manuel Torres. You know, there was
Miguel Torres?
Manuel Torres, not Miguel Torres. But there was the
Are you sure?
The question.
I'm pretty sure they. I'm pretty sure they called him Miguel Torres a couple.
Did
times.
They really?
Are you sure it wasn't
on the broadcast?
You didn't know
no,
that?
No, because I'm watching K-Chan, so I couldn't hear it. I was wondering.
They Freudian slipped a couple times. Like Bisping called him Miguel Torres.
Oh, that's funny.
Twice, I'm like, bro, and I think somebody else did.
I'm like, bro, we just sat here and talked about the fact that you don't have to lump people together because of where they're from or whatever. I thought you were making some kind of like racist joke over there, like Manuel. Miguel,
everybody's motherfucking Miguel Torres, man. They're all the same. He looks just like him.
That's funny.
He called him Miguel Torres a couple times.
That's
and he
hilarious.
Was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, and maybe, which is funny because after, I love, Miguel Torres is one of the first guys, and I know I'm just hijacking your thread. WC, but like Miguel Torres was one of the first cats that I was just like, I love this dude's fighting style. When the first time I worked an event that when he was with the UFC, not that I ever like fanboy out, but I was like, dude, it's Miguel Torres. And that was about it. But I was like, it was pretty cool, you know, and then his day ended.
Well, that
but
was,
I was like, dude, Miguel Torres.
That was definitely worth hijacking the direction that I was going
in
with everything.
There it is.
Bro, you remember that one time that I was like, yo, that was awesome. You literally.
And thanks for listening.
You literally just had a Chris Farley skit there, man.
Hey, That's where I get my humor from.
Oh, that's great.
I just fashion myself after him.
Oh, that's great. Listen, Manuel Torres. I was
now I'm gonna go do some blow in the bathroom. I'll be right back.
How are we more off the rails when we're not even with each other?
I know.
All right. Maybe it's because I'm not there to like keep you in check. Maybe that's the problem.
That's it. You can't give me that look. I can turn away from the screen and you're not looking at me.
You don't get my nonverbal cues to settle the fuck down, cold coffee. All right, Manuel Torres. It doesn't even matter anymore. It doesn't even matter.
I know. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You were talking about Manuel Torres.
Herb Dean told me that he did see the hand go over the eye, but that it wasn't with the fingers forward and that it was the base of the glove. But it made me think a little bit. Like, so he said, he's like, I did see the hand go on the eye, but it was not the fingers. So it's not illegal. And I was like, you know what? He's right. Because you can put your hand on people's mouths. You can't make a rule where hands can't go on faces. Cause obviously as you're grappling and stuff, that's going to happen.
Yep, yep, yep.
But it did make me think, I mean, what if it was like obviously those gloves are open and there's like a seam at the,
yeah, it was the bottom part of the glove is what caught him.
Yeah.
It was the bottom part. You could, in the broadcast, you could see it really easily that his fingers were up. I mean, that's why when he was like, no, the fingers were up, because when I was watching, I was like, clearly his fingers were up. And I just assumed it was that bottom part of the glove where it's open for the immediate palm part and then where the bottom sort of wraps.
Right.
That's the part that sort of caught him or whatever. But his fingers were clearly straight up in the air. I mean, that was probably one of the best examples of like them saying like, put your fingers up or like closed fists.
So what do you think?
They would rather you do a closed fist. But.
So, exactly. The closed fist would fix that. But obviously, so that's why I wanted to ask you. So is that just like a freak occurrence that we don't need to worry about? Or is that something that should be looked at in the rules that like, because obviously the guy lost. I mean, I don't want to say the guy lost the fight because obviously Manuel Torres was lighting him up.
He was
going
to lose anyway.
Yeah, he was lighting him up pretty good. But I mean, the way he reacted, like I don't think he was faking it. Like he really did get hit in his eye. So
he thought it. He thought he did. And from his viewpoint, he probably saw the fingers and assumed it was. But we've seen guys with closed fists take a shot and think it was fingers.
True.
Just the way that the glove has caught him, and that's just a different part of the glove that caught it. It wasn't even that bottom part, it was just the edge of the fist where it wrapped around a knuckle stood out or stuck out. And we've seen heavyweights take it in the eye and be like, oh, he poked me in my eye, and they're like, no, he really didn't. I think it was just a freak occurrence, but I think it was probably mixed in the fact too that the way, because it was almost like a palm strike into his eye, and then that part of the glove like got him or whatever. And then maybe that mixed in with the fact of, I mean, I don't want to question his heart, but mixed in the fact of a little bit the fight wasn't going his way, and if there was a possibility that he can maybe get even just a little leeway or something. But it was clean, and it was right for him to not stop it. But unfortunately, you got to keep defending yourself, and the fact that he went down and he went all in on my eye really hurts, and then he just got swarmed, and then it was done.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought Torres explained it well afterwards, and from what I could see when it happened, I was like, yeah. I mean, I couldn't see anything wrong about anything, and I think it was just a freak occurrence and just maybe the way that the strike hit, but it looked like the same strike that we've seen a million times before.
It did. It just made me think maybe there was a need to add a rule where, like, because you can cover the mouth, but you can't stick your hand in there or whatever. And obviously, he didn't stick his hand in the eye or whatever. I don't know. It made me wonder if, like, maybe there needs to be a rule that addresses, if the hand hits the eye in any way. But what I didn't think was the point that you made, that sometimes fists go in there too. Then what are you going to say?
Right.
Like, so is that not okay? Like, well, what do you mean? You know what I mean? So
what gets me is when they're on the ground and you have a top position and say their heads are really close and then they're trying to do a little head separation, then you'll see them put their hands on their faces as they're trying to separate and peel. And you'll see the fingers resting right on the eyes. And that's always when you'll see the judge, the refs go in there to make sure that they're not actually putting the eye or gouging the eye. That worries me more than anything with like the eye pokes when they're standing, when the guy can see it coming, because when I feel like when they're on the ground and they're allowing them to really sort of just work the fingers around the face as they're trying to control the head, there's a much bigger chance for them to do some serious gouging and damage right there when you're on top. So that even happened in watching the PFL one that might have been that D'Elia fight and the Capoloza fight, because I think there was a couple times on that one I was like, oh, no, please. I was like, please don't do something dirty. Please don't do something dirty. But no, I mean, as for like this and with like the finger strikes and whatever, I mean, I think it's just going to be one of those things. As long as there's open-fingered gloves, there's always going to be something to where somebody at some point's going to, you know, even if it's close, if people are going to use that, or, I mean, to say that something's up. And at times it is going to happen. It's unfortunate. I think it's just part of training. People need to get that muscle memory of training where you're not leaving the hands out extended. Because I think if they did close the gloves, I mean, people are just going to be like, hey, now you're making it to where I can't grapple like I want to. I can't manipulate. I can't do my jujitsu or whatever like I want. You know, somebody's not going to be happy that way. You know, maybe there can be some improvements, but, you know, I think it's the best of what it is. But I think it was just a fluke sort of thing, at least in this one, because I remember as I watched it, I was like, wow, good on this kid to keep his fingers completely straight up. It was a perfect example of what I would think. Like, it's like, okay, if you're going to keep your hand open, there was no forward part on it. And I was just like, good on him. So
I think you're right. I just, the night of, I kind of thought to myself, I wonder if something needs to change. But I think you made some good points there. So listen, let me apologize to everybody that I briefly lost control of things. I didn't know which direction it was going in. But you know how I rectify that? You know how I figure out which direction we need to go in moving forward when I've lost complete control? You know how I fix that, Cole Coffey?
Roadmap.
Look at that seamless transition like a couple professionals.
All right. I knew where you were going, and I ain't even in the same room.
Oh,
look at that.
I love it.
Just
I
look
love
at that.
It.
It was like we had the things just laid out for us.
Well, each and every week for the past 2 weeks, we've turned over the questions. We like our supporters over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. As we always say, if you love this show, if you love listening to it, you want to help support us, go on over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. You can sign up there for as little as $3 a month to help support the show. You'll get exclusive access to the and a half episodes that we do each and every week. There's a UFC event. I haven't figured out exactly how I'm going to do this one yet. Maybe I'll do an and a half episode from CFFC 102 since I can't actually work it. Maybe I'll record a podcast from the audience. I don't know. We'll figure something out. But we'll do it each and every week. But we also turn over what we like to call the roadmap, where we say, hey, who's got questions? What do you want to hear us talk about? What do you want addressed? And because you're supporting us, we have no choice but to address exactly what you want to address. So, Cole Coffey, let's get things kicked off this week.
All right. Well, let's take the man from the top of the list here, Scott McCrate, who's also if there are attendance points, I see all you guys on the weigh-ins, but Scott recently, he's always funny because he hops on and he's like, where's JM at? And I'm like, what about me, yo? What about me?
I mean, you too.
I'm just kidding, Scott. Here's Scott's question. But no, I love it that everybody shows up. So everybody gets a gold star if you show up for the weigh-ins and you say hey as well. Scott says, can you talk about the history of the Friday Live weigh-ins from the early days and how it is now such a popular event that we all tune in for?
Well, I don't know that everybody tunes in, but the hardcores do. Yeah. And as you said, Scott gets
diehard.
Scott is a diehard, man, and we really appreciate his support as of late especially. But, no, listen, man, you know, it's funny, you know, him bringing this up, I was thinking about it earlier as I was reading the question. Man, we're 5 years in on this now, right? I mean, we're talking about back to 2016 when I think these changes were made.
Something like that.
It's crazy, man. You know, it's basically just the thing now. For a lot of people, I'll give you a little history of it. One of the reasons that we do the MMA Roadshow every single Thursday night is because used to, fight week, on Fridays, we didn't have anything to do till like 2 in the afternoon. Like the weigh-ins were at, you know, we had to show up for like a 2 p.m. check-in and there'd be like a 3 p.m. Q&A and then like the fighters would be on the scale at 4 p.m. So Thursday nights, once your press conference was done, that's it. Once your press conference was done, once your media day was done, you know, there's nothing. Yeah, at that point, you know, you can sleep in the next day. So we would just, as you said, we just get fucked up and we just start drinking beer and talking about MMA. Yep. And it was a good time to do it. Now, I will say, the Friday morning early weigh-ins have put a real damper in how we handle things on Thursday night. I'm not going to say that I necessarily drink less, which I probably should, but it's just made the way I feel on Friday mornings a little rougher. And over the years, I have contemplated moving the podcast to a more suitable time to allow for more alcohol consumption without feeling like crap at the early morning weigh-ins, but I've left them where they are. But that's the background on it. You know what's funny is the first one, UFC 199, I believe, was the first UFC event that did it in Inglewood, California. The California State Athletic Commission, they were really one of the ones that were kind of the driving force behind, you know, giving people more time to rehydrate. And it does make sense when you really talk about the logic of it, other than the fact that it screws up the recording schedule for the MMA Roadshow.
Shame on them. Shame.
I don't remember them talking to us about that either. I just want to know.
They did not clear that.
I see you, Andy Foster. I see you, and I'm still holding the grudge, man. You messed up my Thursday night drinking. But, it allows the fighters more time to rehydrate, which makes all the sense in the world, especially, you know, the studies that we talked about at the time were, the fact that the brain is one of the last areas that does fully rehydrate, and obviously the less water that's around there, the more damaged it is. So there's a lot of logic and sense into it. In the beginning, in fact, we actually, I want to say we missed the UFC 200 weigh-ins. Because they were telling us that, in fact, I know we did. They were telling us that no media was allowed, and then a couple of media people got in, and so that was weird. So a couple media people. Now, if you remember, that was the one where Miesha Tate, I think, came in at like the last second. So there was all this drama, and you know, there was only a handful of people that were able to video it because we were told media couldn't even go, so we didn't go. In fact, I remember the first fight night after UFC 200 was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I showed up to the early morning weigh-ins, and they sent me out. They were like, it was Chris Costello. He's like, bro, I hate to do this to you. He's like, but we're not, like, you can't be in here. I was like, can I just tape it and hold the stuff for later? And he was like, nah, man. He was very apologetic, very nice. He's a PR pro, but he actually was like, no, like, media is not allowed in here. So in the very early days, it was kind of a weird thing. They didn't allow media in, and we weren't supposed to know the results of the weigh-ins until the afternoon, which was bizarre. So it was kind of a weird start. I'm kind of used to it at this point. It's funny. Now I kind of hate the ceremonial weigh-ins just because we have to, like, pack up and then move and go do it again. Until they start, I'm like, oh my god, like, we just finished weigh-ins, now we got to go and reset up and go redo everything. But then we get there and they've got the big stage set up and the music's playing and the crowd's in there, and then I love it. There's nothing like those because those face-offs, when they do those face-offs in the Apex and there's no music playing and there's no crowd and there's no, and then they're just like, what, you know, just staring at each other.
Yeah.
That, by the way, that worked a lot better on video than it did in audio form. I made my face off pose
made
there.
The fist.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love the face offs in front of the fans, and except I just wish it was all together at the same time. But it is funny how popular it's gotten. And you know what? I love it. And we've just started recently. For anybody that doesn't know, I'm sure most people listening here knew, but now Cold Coffee had the idea of throwing a mic in there. And I sit there and I try to chat as much as I can. Now, unfortunately, I'm also shooting photos and updating the website and blah, 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 blah. So I don't get to chat as much as I would like to. But those are fun times to just sit there and kind of shoot the shit with people, you know?
There you go.
There you go.
I hope that answered your question, Scott.
Yeah. Did you have anything to add, Cold Coffee? I know I was just kind of rambling about it.
It was good. I mean, the only thing, and we chatted about this a little bit earlier because we talked a little bit about this question. When I think about the early weigh-ins, and from what I remember, you know, granted, this goes way back, is that I believe the first early weigh-ins that we intended were actually Bellator weigh-ins, that Bellator was doing this before the UFC doing it. And then, and we'd have to go back and look at the thing, but I feel like we went to the Bellator ones before we ever went to UFC one, and then the UFC started doing it afterwards. And I'd have to go back and look and see if we'd have to try to find it, but that means like work, trying to like search up shit and do whatever. But I bet if we would, if UFC 199 is the one before it, I bet we could probably see if we could find footage of something that happened before. But I can't remember how they were doing it as well, but Bellator's been doing early weigh-ins for quite some time, and I want to say that they were doing it first. So if that is true, which I believe like it is, that is one thing that if there was ever anything that people always say, oh, Bellator could pick this up from the UFC and they would be better, this is something that, unless I'm wrong, which can be true, this is something that Bellator was doing that the UFC decided to do, that now we're like, this is awesome. Because yep. I mean, except for the early part where we have to get up early and miss drinking the night before and all that other good stuff. but yeah, early weigh-ins are fun. I mean, and even lately I've had a good time enjoying. I love the seating thing. Even now, even though I kind of always get shit on because people are like, oh, I don't like the angle, because they want me to be more centered for the face-offs. But being in the position that I get that great shot of being sort of looking through the curtain, which has kind of become my thing of pointing the camera over there and seeing right. some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we normally would never see if it was just like in a straight-ahead ceremonial setting or something along those lines. So I kind of dig it. I've kind of enjoyed some of the other stuff and getting kind of the banter around with some of the other people there and getting that behind-the-scenes sort of feel. It's kind of fun. So
and let me just say, for everybody that loves that great behind-the-scenes look, don't look for it at UFC 268 because I will be shooting weigh-ins there, and I do not have the quality tripod and all the materials that my man Cole Coffey does.
Lockdown shot.
So you will be getting the lockdown shot of the scale, and I will do my best to chat. In fact, it'll probably be Mike Bond chatting. I'll probably set him up with the microphone because I'll be editing video. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
A little preview.
I think that would give that. I mean, it does add a little something getting the audio, even if it can't be everything. You know. I don't know if he's going to be doing photos. He might even get a chance to chat even more than what you would normally get.
I just ordered an extra XLR cord, actually, so I'll have that ready to go for next week.
There you go. Boom. Gear talk. That's the new segment that's going to follow after the weather.
Exactly.
All right, let's go. We'll go. I guess we'll just go down the line. We'll go to Enrique, who has two questions.
All right.
That's getting your money's worth right there. If Islam can beat Dan Hooker this weekend, would he fight for the title next, regardless of the winner between Oliveira, and Poirier?
Okay. Good question. Now, I think the real, when you say regardless of the winner, is I think you got to talk about regardless of the winner of Michael Chandler, Justin Gaethje, right? I mean, that's just 7 days later, and they're certainly going to factor greatly in there. But I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb, and I'm going to just say yes. Because, let's be honest. The winner of Michael Chandler, Justin Gaethje, is probably coming out of there a little bit banged up, right? I mean, I don't think we're expecting anybody to come out of there scot-free, you know, throw one punch and they're done. So they're probably going to be sitting around a little bit. Now, listen, the lightweight title fight's not till December anyway, so maybe it wouldn't be something that would get in the way. But when I think about Islam Makhachev and where he stands, right, and you think about the fact that, look, he's Khabib's boy, right? We know he's Khabib Nurmagomedov's guy, so that he's got that behind him. Look, we know, you hear it, right? Dana's going to be dropping bombs next week. He says, you know, listen, he's going to be doing big things over in Abu Dhabi. You know, he touched on it earlier at the Contender Series. I mean, he's been saying it for a while. Like, we're doing huge things over there. We got big things coming on. So, listen, based on, you know, the influence that the Abu Dhabi area has and their relationship with the company and the relationship with Khabib Nurmagomedov here as well, I'm going to say that if Islam Makhachev goes in there and wins, unless it's just a terrible fight, and I don't see how it could be a terrible fight with Dan Hooker involved in it, you know what I mean? So unless it's a terrible fight, I'm going to say absolutely yes, he has the inside track and he's fighting for the title next. I'm not trying to write the other fight out. I mean, obviously Chandler Gaethje is going to be an incredible fight, man. I don't see anybody that looks at that one on paper and says, you know, it's not going to be a good fight. It should be fun. And somebody's going to be able to make a statement, and Justin Gaethje can go in there and make a statement. But I think Islam's got kind of the inside track. So unless it's just an absolute snoozer, then I'm saying yes, he fights for the title next.
There you go. I'm going to say no. And, all right. the second part of Enrique's question is, when will UFC put on a show at Allegiant Stadium? They have sold out every pay-per-view this year. Wouldn't a move into the big stadium equal more revenue?
Definitely would. I mean, it would come with more costs as well. Obviously, anytime you put on a big show in a stadium, man, you got to build it out a little bit. You know, I think even over the years, all the stadium shows that we've done, I mean, even Dana has come out and admitted, you know, that sometimes the viewing experience isn't exactly like you might want it to be. I mean, those big shows down in Melbourne, for instance, you know, there's people that
it's hard to see.
And there's people that
it's just too big.
It's just too big. And there's something to be said for the experience. You know, when you're doing a stadium show, it's about the atmosphere, right? It's about just you know, all of us being in there together, and you know, this is amazing. You know, we're all experiencing this moment together. I mean, you know, you think about Holly Holm knocking out Ronda Rousey, and just the buzz that everybody was like, "Oh,
the walkout
my
was super."
God.
The walkout was super impressive. It was very memorable, but. Then it was like, wow, look how tiny they are as they're walking through. Like, they look really tiny for where I'm sitting. And if you don't have the right screens, it's practically – you can't see anything.
And they would have to bring in a lot of screens at Allegiant Stadium, which I haven't gone to a game there yet. I've taken a tour of it with my son. It's a beautiful facility. But, you know, it's interesting, right, because, like, Dallas Cowboys Stadium, AT&T Stadium, I believe it's called, unless they changed the name, you know, it's better suited – because of that massive screen, right? The thing that makes it famous. That screen.
It's super impressive.
Unless you've ever been in there and seen how big it is, like, you just don't comprehend it. Like, you're sitting in a stadium and it's scaled to the size that it feels like you're sitting in your living room watching TV. Now, the problem is that stadium is massive. Like, it's really big. Allegiant Stadium is smaller, so, like, it wouldn't be as hard to fill and it wouldn't feel as gargantuous. But it doesn't have that big screen there as well. So, listen, there's some logistical challenges and some things, but you know that they want to go to that stadium. I'll never forget, I had a meeting one time with Lawrence Epstein at the UFC headquarters. And the headquarters was still pretty new. You know, the new campus was pretty new, and we were meeting to talk about, you know, I can't remember what the interview was about. You know, some initiative they were doing or whatever. And I came to interview him in his office. And I laughed because Lawrence Epstein is a very powerful man in the UFC. And I laughed because when I was kind of just, you know, busting his balls a little bit, his office is on the backside of the UFC headquarters, right? So the headquarters is up against 215, which is a highway in Las Vegas that goes east to west. And, it, you know, the out front, you got the beautiful trees. That's where you see the billboard. That's where you see the courtyard area, you know, and that faces the front. And Lawrence's office faces the back. And so when I went in there to meet him, to talk to him, I was just kind of busting his balls, you know, because obviously he has this incredibly nice office in this incredibly nice building. I'm like, Lawrence, I'm like, this is the best office you could get, man? Like, facing the back over here? Like, you couldn't even get anything up front? And he looks outside out his window. He goes, well, that's where the stadium's going to be. And I'm like, stadium are you talking about? Like, what stadium? And he was talking about Allegiant Stadium, like, years before anybody knew, because he was, like, part of – which I found out later, like, he was part of, like, the planning committee to, like, get – you know. So he wanted his office to face where the new stadium was going to be that hadn't even been approved to be built yet. You know what I mean? So
– And the UFC Apex before the – or the – yeah, the Apex before the Apex was ever the Apex. And then when they build the hotel, he's going to have the best view.
He's going to have it all, man. So listen, what I'm saying is they view – you know, they value that property. Obviously, Dane actually bought a suite there, so he has a suite there. They want to go there, but you always hear what Dana says, and he's damn right. Like, you got to go there with the right fight, man. Like, you go in there and you get a half-filled building, oh, that don't look good for you. And when you do it, you got to spend money to do it right, because you got to make that viewing experience as good as you possibly can, because it's tough, you know what I mean? And that's why he always says it's the right fight, it's the right fight. And I just think they gotta wait for the right fight. And, of course, I mean, COVID. You got to get COVID gone, man. People need to be able to get here. So it will happen. I guarantee you they will host an event at Allegiant Stadium.
Remember, too, the Allegiant is all cashless. So imagine the UFC having an event there and then have the system go down like it did that first UNLV game, I think. The system went down so nobody could buy their beer. And people were pissed off. UFC would be a much different viewing situation if everybody was stone sober in there. Like, it's still going to be fun, but it's not going to be as fun.
Can you imagine? People were pissed off at a college football game. Can you imagine what an MMA crowd? I mean, that's basically what you do at an MMA event,
that's
right?
That's what you do.
Like, you just go get
drink
smashed.
And you get smashed, and then you watch people beat the shit out of each other. Everybody gets smashed.
Oh, my God. It would be crazy. It would be crazy. But I look forward to it. I do look forward to covering the show there. That stadium, like I said, I haven't been able to go to a game yet. Hopefully I should have tried to – I guess the season probably won't go much longer. Like, maybe to go like a UNLV game. Like, I can't afford to go to a Raiders game.
Yeah.
But maybe to go over there for a UNLV game where you could get tickets just to check it out. Because I toured it with me and my son. We toured it, and it's a beautiful facility, man. I look forward to covering an event there.
All right, for the next one, Jay Gould. Gould. I would say that's Gould. What do you guys think about the UFC signing of Alex Pereira? His debut is getting closer, and I feel like his joining the roster has flown a bit under the radar.
I like this question a lot. I like this question a lot. And
this is good.
Yeah, and I like it because, to me, it's interesting, right? Alex Pereira, if you don't know, is the guy that knocked out Israel Adesanya,
that
right?
The guy that beat Izzy.
And that's literally a couple of stories about him. Like, that's literally – because we knew nobody would know the name Alex Pereira. Like, we literally just called him.
He also beat Dustin Jacoby in an earlier fight.
He did.
And Dustin Jacoby is another guy that's a stud kickboxer as well. But yeah, when I looked back and I was like, look at that other name on the list as well. So it's not just Izzy. This dude's been beating UFC caliber dude.
He's legit. But it's funny. Like, we literally just called him the guy who knocked out Adesanya, like, in the headline on the site, which is pretty funny. So but that's the interesting. So this is why I think this is so interesting, right? I believe this has echoes of Clarissa Shields to a degree, right? Like, I feel like the UFC has to make a decision, right? Do you bring this guy and you go, I mean, all in on, this is the guy that knocked out Adesanya? You know, do you start doing promos on him from the very beginning of, like, you know, Israel Adesanya, and there's, like, shadows chasing him in a hallway, or, you know what I mean? Like, do you do that from the very beginning and risk that he comes in and doesn't do what you thought he was going to do, and now, you know, you look foolish because you signed this guy? Or do you let him kind of come in and fly under the radar, and maybe he comes in and gets a big highlight reel finish, and then you go, oh, you like that finish? Well, how about the one where he knocked out Israel Adesanya? Bet you didn't know that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
before Jan Błachowicz beat him, there was one other.
Yeah, so
Alex Pereira.
Well, see, look at that. You got the promo already done, man. You've already got it fully produced and
promo
ready to go.
Done. Now, did it. I produced it while still in my undies.
So
done, UFC. Send me a check.
I'm torn on this one, Coco. I'm interested to hear what you think as well, because, like, on the one hand, I do feel like, hold on, we're a week away from this man fighting at Madison Square Garden on a leading prelim into a big pay-per-view. And I do agree with what Jay's saying here. I feel like I haven't seen a damn word about it. You know what I mean? And it seems like an odd one. That said, I mean, the UFC is busy promoting an event in Abu Dhabi right now. They'll go full-on Madison Square Garden mode next week. So maybe it'll come in. But I do wonder if maybe it's a situation where they're taking a conscious decision to say, look, we're not going to hype this guy as more than he is. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to – because, you know, it's the expectation. Like, look, Clarissa Shields, I mean, we were sitting here talking about, like, hey, is this whole thing over? Is it done? Let's blow it up. Let's never have her fight again. And maybe if Alex Pereira comes in here and loses to Andreas Michailidis, maybe we're saying the same thing. I don't know. So – I feel like on the one hand, it's kind of like this promoter's paradox, right? Like, you got to either decide we're going all in on this dude and we're blowing him up as the dude that, you know, is Izzy's worst nightmare, or we let him matriculate a little bit, we let him do his thing, we don't put the pressure on him right away, we let him get comfortable here. Clearly, if that was the decision that they discussed, we know which way they went here, because I haven't seen anything from the UFC. I mean, I've seen, obviously, like, blogs and websites and stuff, but I haven't seen the UFC do anything, and I don't know if it's right or wrong.
I mean, I'm with you. I think it definitely saves their butt in the sense where, you know, if they're touting this guy as being, you know, as the possible Izzy killer, you know, they don't want to set that up and then have it fail. But also, too, I wonder if it partially is just the fact of maybe something's going on with, like, the whole Izzy thing, that they're keeping kid gloves, and the last thing they want to do is promote the dude that beat him, knowing that how do you promote him? You promote him as the guy that beat Izzy, you know? So I wonder if it's just if it's partially a two-part play. One, they're giving him a shot to go in there, and if he comes out and he's a stud and he's a badass, then they're like, okay, now we have something. We got footage. We can show that he's fought top-caliber dudes in MMA, and he's able to do it. Then you can maybe start doing that thing. But part of me is just wondering if this was more of, let's get him in there. Let's see how he does, and almost like, don't let Izzy know that we're bringing him in. Don't tell him.
You think maybe he hasn't heard? You know, maybe he doesn't.
He's like, they're like, we need to get this bout with Whitaker happening. We need to get UFC 271 taken care of. Can we just bring him in the back door? Let's not really say anything about this, and then go from there. I feel more like it was a matter of they didn't want to. Weirdly enough, upset Izzy and what they're trying to do with Izzy, as opposed to be unsure if this guy's going to worry or not. Yeah. I mean, one, I don't think they have to worry about that. Dude's a fucking stud, yeah. man. This guy's going to come in and make an immediate impact, I feel. I mean, he's just – one, his striking is literally next level. We say that about a couple guys and other guys before. This guy really is. He's scary. And if he's done his due diligence on getting his MMA overall skill set taken care of, he's going to be dangerous. He's going to be dangerous right from the get-go. Why go in here and promote the guy that beat one of your champions knowing that it's just going to piss Izzy off?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Izzy would go fucking haywire if they come in there and started trying to promote him.
Well, and does that really help you that you're put? That's a good
point. You're shitting on your champ.
You're shitting on your own champion, right?
The only way to promote him is shitting on your champ.
That's a good point.
I would say let's keep the one guy happy.
You know, like, who
cares about the new guy coming in?
This guy that we've been telling you is amazing. You know, we didn't tell you he got knocked the fuck out. It's crazy. It's crazy, and we got that guy too. You know what I mean? So
and we got him
we
too.
We got him too.
Someday he might actually find him and get to run that back. I mean, it wouldn't happen for time. You know, he's got to fight. You know, at least four or five more fights, but. Trust me, it could happen.
Really
could happen.
And in the meantime, just know that he got knocked out cold. It was out. It was bad. I will say this. If you like kickboxers, and obviously if you're tuned into Alex Pajeda, you're going to know this name already. But for any reason you don't, Cedric Doumbé is making the transition over to mixed martial arts as well. November 1st over in Dubai is his debut. By the way, he's already signed with Paradigm, so you know what a high-level management group that is and the type of athletes they're signing. They're looking for people that are going to the
they're
top.
They're not just – Pulling random people off. No. To say, I have a gut feeling about this kid.
And listen,
I have a gut feeling.
Cedric Doumbé, from what I understand, did train off and on for several years at the MMA Factory, and is not training there now, but spent some time under Fernand Lopez, and has been kind of quietly behind the scenes getting ready for this transition to MMA. Cedric Doumbé, if you want to see his highlight reel, man, Google him. The dude is an absolute machine. Actually, over at the patreon.com/MMAroadshow, I shared a promo of one of his glory fights. I thought he did an amazing promo of one of his glory fights earlier this year, but that dude is an absolute monster. And I don't think, from what I understand, the UFC is definitely intrigued, but they didn't want to bring the guy in at 0-0 in MMA, which I completely understand. Even as highly touted and as amazing he is at kickboxing, they wanted to see him get at least a couple of wins. But I got to think, you know, his debut is November 1st in Dubai. I got to think it's not going to take more than a handful of wins at most to get him into the UFC. And this dude can crack, man. He is fun to watch fight. So Cedric Doumbé.
Cedric Doumbé, you know, oddly enough, but totally not related, a circular djembe is a drum that is fun to hit on, and it makes a wonderful sound, and it's great around circles, you know, drum circles, and when you're smoking weed. Circular djembe, a djembe, D-J-E-M-B-E, a djembe.
I definitely wish we were broadcasting this video right now so people could see the look on my face of just the general, what in God's name are you talking about cold coffee?
Well, you said Cedric Doumbé, and all I could think of was like djembe. I was like, oh man, I used to have fucking great drum circles on some djembes. Because you could either be the odd man out and you try to bring like a conga, and then you're like, oh, that's way too big, you know, just leave that. Or you can get the little bongos, then you look like a really silly hippie. But the cool kids all had the nice djembe drums, the nice big fat round ones, because they got a nice bass sound in the middle, but they also have nice little higher tones around the outside. That's the drum talk that's going to take place after the gear talk, which is after the weather talk for the next episode.
All MMA all the time.
All MMA and more.
Amazing.
Okay. And then I guess last one and the funnest question I know you've been waiting for from one Mark Fellows, who also gets Gold Star
stud.
For attending all the
stud.
The website stuff. Mr. Morgan, Mr. Coffee, are you missing spending time at the office this week with the world-nominated hot tea and that youngster apprentice, Jose, from one of those smaller websites? Or are you content enjoying some R&R at home and avoiding those $12 Peronis.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I'm kind of glad that I'm not back at the office. I do have a little PTSD, I think, from all the time we spent in that bar in Abu Dhabi that we labeled as our office. They basically had one table in this bar, Stills, if anybody was listening to the show back during the Fight Island times, that we spent a lot of time at. As both welcome guests and unwelcome guests at times based on our consumption levels.
Yeah, that's right. More unwelcome as the night went on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And had a good time hanging out with Hot Tea and Jose, man. We never really threw Jose on the microphone, but we always had fun hanging out.
I always try when I'm around, but
I was like,
Morgan always shuts it down.
We're not giving that smaller, tiny site any views, man, any love. But no, we had a good time. But I will say this. Those prices, I do not miss those prices at all. I got a message from Oscar Willis from the Mac Life, the one and only Hot Tea, the first night he was there. He was like, dude, two beers and an order of wings was $70.
Oh my God.
I do not miss
Why
that
go?
At all.
Don't even. It's not even worth going.
Brutal.
That's crazy.
Brutal.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, listen. Fight night, I'll miss the fact that I'm not there, man. There's nothing better I love to do on a Saturday than cover a fight. But yeah, you know what, man? Not having to make that flight over there. Those guys, man, I feel for them. Next week in New York, man, they're gonna be hurting a little bit, man, because you do get some real jet lag for making that trip. So they're going to be hurting a little bit for 268. So kudos to them. Much respect to them. You know what, man? I'm not complaining about sitting one out. I don't want to sit too many of these things out, but I'm not complaining about a little break and getting to come out here and hang with my CFFC fam this week. So it's good. So
there you go.
Shout out, Mark Fellows. All right, well, listen, we'll wrap up with just a little talk on UFC 267. I don't want to break down the full card. I know you're getting a lot of that already. Yeah, exactly. Coke Coffee's ready to go hit his Doombay or whatever.
Jimbay. Doombay's the fighter.
What about Salt Bay? What about Salt Bay? Where does Salt Bay fit in there?
Yeah, where's Salt Bay at, homie?
Listen, you get some great. Fair Hanoun is so as we mentioned at the top. Fair Hanoun is over there in Abu Dhabi. She's not covering it directly for MMA Junkie this week. She's doing a little bit of side hustling stuff as well, but you can catch a lot of it. She's done a lot of great sit down interviews, so make sure you seek out her coverage. She's got a lot of stuff there. Obviously, Oscar Willis is over there. If you can find Jose Young's work, I'm not exactly sure where it publishes at. But he promises me it's a reputable outlet. I haven't actually seen it for myself, but if you can find his stuff, he's over there also.
Yeah, I happened to catch him on the UFC stream. I think that's the only way I was going to be able to find him this week. He was on the UFC stream earlier today.
So you can't confirm that he was there. All right. I
can confirm he was there.
Okay. Fair enough. Again, I don't know how the UFC chooses who gets credentialed. I'm not sure what vetting process they're using. I've never seen the guy's work, but they're giving him a credential. He's there. It may be worth checking out. Is anything more, this card is really damn good. The Błachowicz to share, two of the nicest dudes in the sport, man. Two guys that have shared the similar journey of ups and downs, and you really
their,
don't.
Their trash talk at the press conference was just epic. Epic.
I missed that while I was flying
Psych.
Here. Yeah.
Lack of.
I heard the press.
There's no trash talk.
I heard the press conference was a little dry. I mean, it's, you don't have.
It was just very plain Jane. There wasn't a lot of heat. There wasn't a lot. If anything, the Leech and. Chimaev, that was like probably the closest of anything sort of having anything, but it was a good press conference. I mean, everybody got to say a little something, but yeah, I mean, in terms of it being like, oh man, that was really memorable, it wasn't one of the most memorable ones, but it was still fun to watch. But yeah, I joke. I mean, like, Błachowicz and Teixeira are like two of the nicest dudes ever. They're never going to talk shit about each other or whatever. So, but I am looking forward to that fight far.
I'm looking forward to that fight. I'm looking forward to Sanhagen Yan. I know nobody likes the bantamweight interim title and all that stuff. I get it. But it's still a phenomenal fight. I did pick Islam Makhachev in that fight, but I respect the hell out of Dan Hooker for taking the fight. I love
Same-sies.
That. But I will say this, man. The one storyline, obviously anytime there's titles involved, that's going to be the big ones. But I'm really interested to see Khamzat, man, because I know a lot of people hate him. I know a lot of people hate him or hate the hype or whatever, but I think the hype is deserved. I think he's the real deal. But
It's a great test.
But it's a great test. It's been a lot of time off, and is COVID impacting him at all? I will say before I jumped on the plane this morning, I watched all the embeds and all that stuff, and he did look a little. Maybe it's just because I haven't seen him in a while, but he looked like thin to me almost. Man, I was like, oh, has he dropped any muscle? I don't know. I'm intrigued. That's the one, because I believe if he's back to 100%, he is going to be a problem. But as you said, Li Jianlong is a guy that we've loved forever, man. That he's going to put you in a scrap.
Leech is awesome. That's going to be one hell of a fight. I mean, if Hamzat doesn't watch it and he eats too many of those strikes, Leech just destroys dudes when he hits them too many times, and he's tough as nails. He could take a good punch. It's just a matter of can he stay standing? Can he keep himself vertical? And that's going to be the biggest thing. But that fight, when I look at some of the other ones, that's the fight that easily I think stands out just for in terms of just a lot of hype and just a lot of like
intrigue.
Plus
I think
just
intrigue
personal
is
interest,
the word,
you know? Yeah, intrigue. There you go. Of course, it's going to be good to see Amanda Ribas.
Of course.
Too bad we're not there to hear her very contagious laugh that she
very contagious laugh.
Loves to do everywhere.
Hey, that's a good fight, too. I'm telling you right now, Amanda, I think
that is a good fight.
I think Amanda has to keep that one standing. I think even though Amanda's good on the ground, yeah. I think Vanna Janjihova, you and I were talking about her yesterday. It sucks because like people talk shit, you know what I mean, about her appearance, and it sucks. She is good, bro. Her grappling is insane.
Super good.
Yep.
People don't give her enough credit, you know. She's a fucking stud, man. And Amanda, in my book, I think I picked Amanda in our staff picks, but that's just because I love her personality.
Yeah.
Verna can literally go in there and win this, and it could be a lot easier than we think. But I think Amanda's got some really good skills when it gets on the ground. But if she tries to keep it striking, I think Verna's got the edge. Unless she just sort of slacks. I think she's just been through tougher fights. And it's all on Amanda, depending on when Amanda shows up, if she's going to win or not. But if Janjihova pulls out the victory, I'm not going to be surprised at all. I just don't think enough people give her credit for how tough and dangerous that she actually is. And she's 17-2.
Crazy.
I mean, you don't get to 17-2 without being really, really good.
No.
She's really, really good.
She's good. I will say I'm anxious to see Ankalaev back in action, man. I think that dude's legit, man. Magomed Ankalaev is legit as well. So it's a good card, man. It's a really good card. I'm excited for it. ESPN Plus, so no pay-per-view early in the day. So looking forward to that. And then
It's free. Dana says it's free. It's so funny. But he's like, but it's behind a paywall. He's like, it's basically free. It's free.
You already got ESPN.
We're never
going to
get anything. If you don't have ESPN Plus, what the fuck at this point?
Yeah.
Like, you haven't been watching all these fight nights and everything, and let alone you would have been able to watch the PFL yesterday. If you don't have ESPN, come on, brah, get the ESPN. But we're never going to get it. I mean, this is the cheapest you're ever going to get a pay-per-view at. Ever.
Yep.
You know, so Dana made a good point. You know, if you could put a pay-per-view caliber fight on ESPN or practically free TV, you got to take advantage of it. I mean, this is a really, really good – it's a good card, man, top to bottom. I mean, it's a really, really good card.
Yep.
It should be a lot of fun. It's going to make getting up earlier a little bit better because I think we're going to see action right from the get-go. This doesn't look like a slow-build card. This looks like a – get your shit running, you know, maybe put a little whiskey in your coffee early on and just start the day strong.
I like
just go hard.
Well, hey, I don't have to call fights that night now, so I might take you up on that offer.
Oh, just fuck it. Get it.
Oh, man. All right, we're looking forward to it. All right, listen, it is UFC 267. Like I said, MMA Junkie will have full coverage. We don't have on-site. We do have Farah Hanoun over there, but she's doing a little side gig. So we're patching it together. Fortunately, the UFC is helping us out with some footage and things like that. So we got full coverage. It's just none of us that are used to seeing, but we'll be back at it. UFC 268, myself and Mike Bond will be there as Cold Coffee continues to search for a new place to take the expansive.
Hopefully we'll have something that week. Hopefully it's the never ending battle, man. Shit just gets snapped up as quick as it can be. There was a place that just went on the market like yesterday or like in the beginning of the morning. I was like, this is perfect. Just like I've said on the other places.
Yeah.
And it's under contract today. So that's how quickly everything happens. And it's like, but I do want to say, cause I'm going to get this done early and get this out tomorrow morning, bright and early. after the ceremonial weigh-ins at 9 Eastern, unless we change the time, Mike's going to do a live stream with Farah on our Junkie YouTube.
Okay.
So if you want to have a little sort of coverage of there and her on the ground and getting some insight of what she's saying, tune into that. But hopefully you guys heard this by then or it's going to be old news. But
Or catch the replay on the YouTube channel.
Or catch the replay. You're so smart.
It's
this
free.
This is why we keep you around.
It's free.
It's free.
It's free.
And it's free. It's free.
If you don't want to let it be free, head on over to patreon.com and support the show over there. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.